Hey everyone, welcome to Past Lives and the Divine. I am Gina, the host of this podcast, and this is where we get deep, deep in the conversations around our past lives, our connection to the divine out there, the divine inside each and every one of us. And we do this for healing and, you know, releasing baggage and feeling a little better and removing blocks and gaining wisdom and insights. You know, also we can just feel like we're reaching more of that full potential in this life that we came here to create. And of course, we have these conversations because they're entertaining. And it's like, if you can be entertained and feel a little bit better, I mean, that's like such a win, right? So in today's episode, episode number 13, I am covering a past life regression that I did. I was the client. My friend Allison facilitated the session. And we completed it 3 months ago, about December of 2019. And I will get a little bit, of course, dive way deep into this in the meat of the episode. But I'll talk about my intention. The intention around that life was to uncover slash understand my fears around growing this business. I have a lot of fear, I guess, or one specific fear was like, how do I make decisions that are aligned with my soul, right? Oftentimes we're told, if it's a hell yes in your body, do it. Well, if you're trained to like, if your ego is being scratched and it feels really good for your ego, it's hard for me at least to be like, well, is this like ego or is this really my soul? Because in my 15 years of being a wellness coach and consultant, I really thought that I was like being, you know, like, this is what I truly want. This is what my soul wants. But looking back on it, I got really caught up in things that felt good to my ego and then doing those because they, quote, felt good. And then realizing like, but I fucking hate doing this and I hate doing that. And I don't like this group of people. And why am I working with this, you know, companies? The smoke and mirror shows in the corporate world drives me bananas. Like, so anyway, it was just really addressing those fears. So if you're someone who struggles with like, big decisions. Is this right? Is this truly what my soul wants? Hopefully you'll get some wisdom and insights and you'll be able to take some things that I learned and hopefully they feel true to you and you can apply them. The cool thing is like soul knowing, soul wisdom, eternal ancient knowledge, all of that stuff in the Akashic records and stored in our subconscious mind. A lot of, you know, most often those are like universal truths, which is also why I love talking about it because I like having these conversations. And if they can help you, I think that's awesome. I'm choosing this past life regression to shine the spotlight on today because it's also a really good example about how a boring, unremarkable life can have so many life-changing nuggets of wisdom and just gold in terms of like insights, releasing. Because a lot of times when people think of their past lives, it's like if they don't have like some sort of fucking Joan of Arc experience, they think it was bullshit or boring or I'm boring. And that's not what it's about. And most of us have more of a catalog of really extremely boring, average, regular lives. But what's so cool about those is like, you know, without all the glitz and glamour and adventure of like being, say, a Joan of Arc type thing or some kind of big warrior. Sometimes we can get so excited about that we lose some of the wisdom that we could gain from it. And you don't have to. You definitely don't have to. Every past life has a gift. And I believe that we're shown the past life that we need when we need it. And just like most past life regressions, I had the intention going into the session. And I not only got a lot of information and help around that intention and the evolution I wanted from that, but also within these past lives, and this one was really impactful, we're shown different threads of learning and wisdom and points of view. And we can take and see how those threads like really parallel our lives today. And sometimes it's easier to learn about ourselves when we're kind of taking more of that third person point of view. So, yeah. So anyways, if you struggle with making decisions, wanting to make sure they're soul aligned, you'll like this. Also there, I discovered some ways that I'm jealous or have like a fear of missing out, which my conscious mind prior to that session would have been like, no, it's not a thing. I don't feel that. when actually I do. And in this past life, it was actually uncovered that I do. And specifically in this life as Gina, I feel it with one person in particular. And it was just like, oh, that's why sometimes this person drives me fucking nuts. Or that's why sometimes I feel this way around that person. And it hasn't changed our relationship. I have not told this person. I don't know. We don't really have conversations about this. I mean, we're good friends, but when people aren't into this stuff, like, you can only go so far, right? Anyway, so it's just informed, like, a corner of our relationship that used to be frustrating, and now I'm like, oh, that's what it is. Oh, okay, I just have to avoid that. So that's what I really like about a past life regression is, like, we often get these lessons that we don't even know that we need. Okay, I'll get more into that later. But before we dive into today's episode, our next episode, which comes out in 2 weeks, I'm not sure what it's going to be. I usually always like to have a little preview for you all because I think that's kind of fun and it keeps me on track. And I am 90% sure it's going to be a past client interview, which I'm so excited for you guys to hear. But I have a couple things that I might switch around based on a couple other things. You know how life is. If this, then that. So I don't want to commit to one thing, but it will most likely be a client interview. But anyways, if you are interested in staying in the loop, you can go to pastlivesandthedivine.com/subscribe and then get on the email list, and I will deliver the information about each podcast episode right to your inbox. So let's get started. Gather around the fire, diving into my latest past life regression session. All right, let's get into it. Okay, so like I said, I scheduled this session. I was the client, and this past life regression, my friend Allison was the facilitator, as she often is. And I scheduled this session with her for a couple reasons. The first reason was I had a conversation with a past life regression client who just like the line of work she's in, the type of person she's in is someone who we could probably talk all day. I would enjoy that. And so not that that's not the case with everyone, but like when you meet someone who's like a little like as freaky as you, it's like, hey, I don't often meet people as freaky as me. So it's just like curiosity and interest. And anyways, in our conversation, she had mentioned just like in casually passing, like, well, what are your goals with your business? In the sense of like, I don't know anyone who does this, and what are your goals? And I had not personally thought about these external number goals for my hypnosis past life regression business because I guess consciously I would have said I did goals like that, and all they did was lead me down a road that I didn't like in my previous career, which was being an entrepreneur. I was a wellness coach and consultant, worked in that industry for 15 years, woke up one day and was like, wow, I fucking hate this. And I don't particularly like most of the groups I'm working with or the types of people I'm working with. Like the point of view is just so different from mine. And I could go on and on about like the whys behind that. But at the end of the day, the point of this conversation is that I realized that after that conversation with her, just examining like the gross feeling inside of me, kind of like, whoa, why am I feeling this way? Like, I don't want to feel this way. And it was hard for me to even articulate like what the hell I was feeling. And so when I'm feeling like gross or frustrated or anxious or like feeling dread inside, I've done enough exploration in this life as Gina that the most bang for my time is a past life regression that I can do there. So I right away texted my friend Allison to get one on the schedule because I just know, like, in order to really get to the bottom of this, like, I have to go super deep. So in preparing for that session, I took time to, like, meditate and, like, really think about, like, what are these feelings? And I even journal, which you all know, like, shit is not good on the inside of me if I'm journaling about something because I fucking hate journaling, but it works. It works for me. But I have all kinds of resistance to doing it. So when I feel just really shitty or confused, I'm like, okay, I gotta type this out. And so one of the things that I typed out was like, I do have fears around building my business, specifically building it in a way that I feel like I'm not painting myself in a corner and I can't change. One, I don't want to build one that I think I love because it feels good for my ego and then wake up and not like the work or the people I'm working with. And so anyways, this client and I just had this great conversation, which then pretty much catapulted me into a weekend of thinking. And I really like this client. I'm hoping I can get her on the podcast as an interview because it was such an entertaining, well, they all are entertaining sessions, I think, but more like it was a real sensational past life, or she was like this warrior princess. But anyways, it was really like I was journaling, like, am I afraid to grow? Why, you know, do I not trust my instincts? That's kind of the thing that I came upon. Like, I don't trust my instincts to build a business that I'll love long term, to build a business where I can pivot and change if I want to, if my interests change, if my points of view change. And it was just like, what's the rub here? Like, am I ashamed that I'm only this far, however this far is? Am I ashamed that I don't want to be like over the top busy? I have done a really good job of releasing my worthiness from this need to be busy. Like, I feel worthy whether I've had a nap today or I worked 8 hours. You know, I feel worthy whether I've worked 10 hours or worked 1 hour. So in that journaling, I also realized like some other things that make me uncomfortable that maybe were related to this, right? Like, just kind of like getting in my way. So I basically went in with this thought of like, how do I understand, release, learn from these fears that I have around growing a business, specifically growing a business that I will love for a long time. So before we actually get into this session, I do not have audio spliced recordings of it because I'll give you the behind the scenes. Like, when a client comes, I have this app on my phone that records, and then I can easily like email that recording to them. And so what happens is I set out my phone, it records the session, we get done with the session, and I immediately email them the actual audio file recording so they can keep it, have it, listen to it. I got an inkling most people probably never listen to it again, but regardless, I want them to have it, and then I have a copy that I save in my email because I saved the email that I sent them, right? Okay, that's a long story. But the reason I don't have the audio slice is because every once in a while I go into this app and I just delete the whole library because immediately after the session I send it to the client and I save it on my computer. So I don't need it like taking up space on my phone because a lot of these sessions are like, you know, over an hour, sometimes over an hour and a half long. So anyways, I was going through and just doing like a batch delete and then realized that I must have done that for my session in December. Blah. And of course, when I'm the client, I'm not thinking, email this recording to yourself ASAP. So anyways, it was recorded, but it's gone. And another thing that happened talking about the recording is during that session, I forgot to put my phone on Do Not Disturb. So it was recording and my phone rang. And Allison, if my memory is correct, like, she has a different kind of phone than me. So like, I have an Apple, she has an Android or whatever, the Samsung or whatever. So instead of shutting it off, she actually answered it. So in the session, if you're ever worried, like, oh my gosh, what if something, my phone rings, or what if my alarm goes off or whatever on your phone, like, you will be totally aware of it, but it's just like, oh, that's happening, and you're just like totally relaxed. It doesn't pull you out unless you want it to. So I just thought I'd throw that in there, is that my phone rang, she actually accidentally answered it, and then I heard the other person on the other end going, hello, hello. And I could just feel Allison being like, oh my god, hang up. So it was kind of funny, but I heard it. It did not take anything away from the session, and I wish I would have had that on the recording, because then you could see it's like just not really a big deal. However, as a facilitator, I do whatever I can to like keep it so quiet and so serene for the person, because anytime you're going to hypnosis, working in hypnosis or regression like this, the biggest indicator of success is the client's state of mind, like whether they really want it, whether they're really open to it. And so I just like to keep the distractions, obviously, as at a minimum. But they don't have to be, like, if there is a distraction, it's really as distracting as the client's mind makes it. So there, just in case you were wondering. Okay, let's get into the details of the session. So as I look at these notes, the specific intention statement was, I'm looking for a past life where I followed my intuition, trusted my intuition over my ego's desires, or a past life that'll help me understand, like, my fear related to not being able to build a business I love, my fears around not being able to trust myself to follow my intuition over my ego. So, you know, and then also, of course, in there, I had, like, any fears, you know, deeply rooted fears that may be contributing to my current fears or currently the way I feel that may be preventing me from following my intuition. So it's kind of convoluted, but it was basically like, how do I make sure I'm following my intuition and not just having my ego stroked? So that was the intention for the session. And then I had two questions that I wanted her to ask. Like, as you all know, and if you don't know this, go check out episode 3, Anatomy of a Past Life Regression. Because after you go through the past life scenes, then we come to a space of spiritual guidance. And this is the place where I encourage clients to ask questions that maybe they're wondering about, but maybe they don't want to do a whole past life regression on it. Or maybe they're just like additional questions that support the intention of the session. And I always say, it's like, if you're wondering what questions to ask, it's like the questions that if you were someone who believed in or worked with psychics, like, what's a question you would ask a psychic about your life right now? Because you've heard me say this before, if you've listened to other episodes, it's in the safe spiritual space that you are in after your past life scenes, where you are so closely in touch with your soul, the plan for your life, your higher self, your guides, your angels, the enlightened beings around you that guide you and support you and protect you, that you get such impactful answers. It's as if you were a psychic. So if a psychic is really, you know, picking up on their psychic and they're not a total charlatan and they can, like, psychically read you, that's essentially what they're reading. They're reading your energy field. They're reading your higher self, your guides around you, your angels around you, your, you know, maybe some context clues for your life plan. That's what they're reading. So instead of going to see a psychic who tells you what that is, and then we always have that human doubt, right? You go get those answers for yourself. And so just to really hit home the point, the question that I wanted Allison to ask me was, how can I trust my intuition more? And how can I, like, not only trust it more, but, like, turn the volume up on it more? And then when I am aware of, like, the path I need to take, like, how can I increase my confidence and, like, just my ability to feel peace and, like, centered in that decision? Because really, like, if we're living authentically, like, being authentically us, we're going to piss some people off. And that's just the way it is. And sometimes they're not, like, totally pissed off. Sometimes they, like, feel left out, or they might be disappointed in you, or they want you to do something else, but you're going to do this thing. And for someone who really picks up a lot and has to work really hard on, like, not picking up other people's emotions, that can be a real, it sounds easy, but it's not. Like, I am so used to just, like, gauging other people's emotions out of curiosity, and then just, like, you know, growing up just in the way that I did, it was just something that came natural and was something that I needed, but it's just not something I need right now. And the truth is, when we're living authentically, there are always going to be people who disagree or are disappointed or wish we did something else. And so while I was at it, knowing that that's the case, I just wanted to be like, and how can I be more confident and peaceful and rooted in that? So I don't have to do another past life regression to be like, I'm doing it and I'm super uncomfortable. Is this right? It was just like, I could see it coming. So I just wanted tips and tricks on that, which, of course, spirit always delivers, right? Okay. So getting into the meat of the session. So Allison, sometimes when she does an induction with me, if you're wondering what an induction is, it's like the way a regression session starts. And so if you have a lot of questions about it, again, go see episode 3, Anatomy of a Past Life Regression. But that's basically where the facilitator, the hypnotist, the regressionist, the hypnotherapist, whatever they call themselves, leads you through essentially a guided meditation and gets the client to a space where they are accessing more of their subconscious mind than their conscious mind. And that's the sweet spot. That's where you want to be. That's trance. That's where we can gain access to all these eternal memories and vows and contracts and baggage and all that stuff. And so one of the ways she does it is she'll go through an induction and then bring me back to age, say like 15 was the age that she did. She doesn't always do 15, but the age that she did. And it's like pull out a memory and just talk about it. And then we leave that memory. And then she brought me back to age 5, pull out a memory, and then work it back. And then you go through, you know, kind of like back up through the silver cord that attaches you to the astral plane. And then we drop into past life scenes. But what's so cool is I always think like, ugh, why am I having this memory whenever she does that? Like age 15, age 5. And looking back on it, they always are such an indicator of like, hey, these are flashes in your life where you were dealing with this. And here's what you learned, or here's how you could have done it better. And it's just, it's really interesting. So specifically in this past life regression session, the induction that Allison did, the memory that I went to at age 5, well, I think I was like 4 or 5, but I just remember being like on my couch in the living room of the house that I lived in. And I don't know if you, when you were born, but I was born in 1980. And so in the 80s, they had these juice boxes. And I think it was like High C or something. I remember calling it High C. And I remember drinking the juice box. And then I would always, whenever I was done drinking the juice box, I would always like take the straw out. And then I would like flip the sides out. Like they were like a little carton, you know, so you can like, you know, pull them out or whatever. But I would like then take this High C box and like fly it around like as if it was an airplane. And I just remember, I don't remember words that were said, but I have always been super sensitive to like what other people are feeling and like the notions around them. And so it was this thought of like, oh, she's doing that again. Like, what does this mean? And it was really just taking it out of context doesn't make any sense. But the context that it was in was like growing up, I was such a tomboy. And I would even say things like, I wish I was a boy because my mom would always dress us like in frilly dresses and all this stuff. And I just wanted to be like in jeans and comfortable shoes. And I just wanted short hair. I didn't want to fuck around with any of these extra things that like make it hard to play. And so wearing all that stuff, I hated it. And so I would be like, I wish I was a boy, because I knew like as a boy, no one questioned if you played with trucks or toys or Ken dolls. And no one questioned if you turned your High C box into an airplane and flew it around, and no one questioned you not wanting to wear a dress. But I knew because I was a girl, like there was, you know, some silent expectations as to how I should be operating. And I fucking hated that. And so in my little mind, it was just like, I wish I was a boy so I didn't have to deal with all of this. I mean, fast forward today, I think I've always, for the most part, liked being a girl other than that. But it was really just like me, my first, like, knowing people think I'm, quote, not acting right, and being like, oh, fuck you guys, was like the thought in my head. And I just remember in that memory, I just like stopped playing and like threw my High C thing away and like left the room and was just like, I'm just playing with this. Like, it's nothing bad. Like, who fucking cares? Just because I don't want to wear a dress and play with fucking Barbies all day. Like, I just want to wear jeans and sandals and play with trucks and cars. You know, that's the kind of girl that I was. But that made certain people wonder, and I just didn't like that. Okay, so the end of that memory in the induction was just kind of me being like quitting what I was playing with and leaving the room just to avoid their judgments and avoid all of that. So then moving into the past life scenes, So in the very first scene, I was wearing kind of like these blue overalls, but it was like a dress, kind of maybe some sort of jumper, like a with a white shirt and like a bonnet, but it was like a big dress, and they weren't my clothes. And so in this opening scene, the only thing I was aware of was I felt like I was kind of crouching by a tree, and I was wearing clothes that for most women would be like everyday clothes, but I literally felt like I was, you know, playing dress up. Like, I felt like I was in a Halloween costume. It was so foreign to me. Like, when you wear a Halloween costume and you just feel like, whoa, this is not me. You know what I mean? Like, whether you're dressed as a monster or a character you would never dress like. So that's how I felt. And the only thing I was aware of was, like, these are not my clothes, but I took these clothes to, like, hide in plain sight. So it's not something that I would normally wear. And normally I was dressed so I could be, like, active outside. That's all I knew, like, in that moment. You know, maybe, like, pants and, like, or jeans, you know, or kind of like a coverall suit. Anything where you could, like, be active. I got the sense that I worked in this scene. I got the sense that I, like, worked with trees somehow. You know, just like things where you would need fabric that could get kind of roughed up and not rip, and things where you could really be active and move and not have to worry about how you were dressed. And I was a woman in this scene, and I was about age 23, I believe. And I think my name was Mel, or people called me Mel, something like that. But I was crouched down behind a tree, and I was waiting for a group or someone to pass. So it's like a forest scene, and I'm crouched behind a tree, and these people who I'm waiting for to pass aren't looking for me, but if I would be seen, I'd be in trouble. So even though I was alone crouched by this tree, overall I was with a group of people who were also in the forest. And then I came to realize the group I was with in the forest had this, like, loop tool. I guess I could probably Google it, but I'm just not that interesting in Googling this stuff. Even though I do think it's interesting when you Google something from a past life and it's like, oh my God, that was a thing. I didn't even know that. Look at that. But they were essentially, like, stripping the bark off of trees. So they would cut down the tree and strip the bark off the tree. And so I was with this group of people, but for whatever reason, at this time, I was, like, hiding in the woods. Like, I had left the group, and I don't know if I, like, changed to hide, even though the people who were coming through who I was hiding from weren't necessarily looking for me. If they would have seen me, it wouldn't have been good. Like, there would have been questions to answer. So for whatever reason, me or the type of person I was wasn't really welcome to do that work. And in sitting there kind of watching through the woods, this group of men that I was with who were doing the trees, they were laughing and, like, having a good time and doing the hard work. And I just remember sitting there staring at them being, like, so jealous. Like, I don't want to fucking sit here in this stupid dress hiding. I want to be over there just, like, dressed appropriately, using my body. I just loved, like, working really hard. Like, I could just feel that work in my muscles, and I just wanted to be doing it. And I wanted to be there with those guys and, like, laughing and having a good time. But instead, I was hiding in the woods and just feeling jealous. Like, I wish I didn't have to fucking hide like this. This is so stupid. And I remember looking at those guys and thinking, like, fuck them. They don't even care that I'm not there. And they are just, like, so happy. It doesn't matter if I'm there or not. And I have all this other stuff I need to worry about because people don't want me doing this work. And of course, looking back at it afterwards and also looking back at it now, I can logically see where it's like, oh, those gender norms have gotten in the way of more than this one past life. It's gotten in the way in this life. And just knowing that as we move through these past life scenes, it's really easy for us to slip into this like analytical, logical thing to be like, oh, I'm seeing this right now because of A, B, and C in my life currently. And I always, if I can tell someone's doing it, or if I just know the person before they go in, if they've done it before, or if I know them personally and it seems like something they might do, I always reaffirm, like, while you're in these past life scenes, you just want to report on what you're seeing, imagining, sensing, feeling. You don't want to, we'll analyze this later. And so I could tell, like, myself wanting to analyze it right then, but it was like, nope, just how are you feeling right now in this scene? How are you feeling right now? What is going on in this scene? And not to make assumptions or analyze, because that'll take away from the details coming in from the scene. And you're in that scene, so you want to absorb as much as you can, because in all of that are, like, teachings that weave together into, like, great lessons and insights that'll affect us. So the less analyzing we can do when we're actually in the past life scene, the better. I mean, we all do it on some level, but the less we do it, the better. So with that in mind, I don't know if this next piece was me analyzing it or like an actual thought that I had in that past life. But when Allison was asking me just more about like the work I do, and more about this group, just to really kind of see, like, what is my role in this group, being a younger woman. And it was really just, like, I do this work sometimes, and doing this work with these guys is, like, so much fun. We have so much fun together. But then my point of view is, like, I can see they're still having fun when I'm not there, so they don't care about me. Like, they don't care whether I come or go. And just hiding in the woods, staring at them, just all of these feelings of, like, they don't care about me, total jealousy, like, I wish I could be there. And really, then this knowing of, like, popped in my head of, like, you never know what someone's thinking. Like, don't try to think what they're thinking, because you don't know, and that's just, like, such a waste of time. And so I don't know where that insight came. I feel like that was my higher self kind of like plunking that in there of like, Gina in this past life is feeling jealousy, like they don't care. But really, you never know. You have no idea what these other people are thinking. And they can be sad that you're not there and still have a good time. That's totally fine. So it was, there was like a little bit of that, like analyzing how they're feeling. And then, just this overall sense of like, at the end of the day, I just really liked that job. I enjoyed the time in nature. I enjoyed the time moving my body. And I enjoyed my time with that group of men. Like, they were all really my friends. So that just added to, you know, I liked the work. I liked being in nature. I liked those guys. And so it just added to like this feeling of resentment and annoyance that I had to hide out so people wouldn't see me there. So then we moved to another significant scene in this past life as Mel. And in this past life, this scene was about, I don't know, a couple years, 2-3 years after that first scene where I was hiding in the woods. And in this scene, I was in a chair in my home and I was rocking a baby. And it was my baby, but I did not feel connected to it. And the only thing that I could think of when I was rocking this baby was how I wish I was outside working. You know, like the laughter with those guys and the physical work, but I couldn't. And now I was just like stuck inside. And I was actually married to one of the people in the logging crew there that I was happy to be friends with. And for whatever reason, ended up marrying this guy. And actually, I think we got married because I got pregnant first. But the only thing I could think of was, I am so jealous that he gets to go to work and I have to sit here with this baby. And that's, I just, this feeling of like stuckness, cabin fever, kind of just like, oh, I have all this energy, I want to get out. And yeah, so I was just feeling trapped by essentially like society's expectations. So Allison kind of poked a little bit more and talked about, like, or asked me about, you know, why do you feel stuck? Why don't you just go do that work? And it was basically like, I can't go do that work, because if I do that work, that means I'm abandoning my baby. And like, everybody I know will look down on me as someone who abandoned their baby, when really I don't want to abandon my baby. I just want someone to take care of it so I can go work. But the nature of this job that I had and that I loved, and that the man who was the father of my child and my husband, that the nature of that work was sometimes you'd be gone for a few weeks at a time. So as a mother of a young baby, I couldn't do it. I could have, but like, it would have been, everybody in society would have had something bad to say. And so I was not angry with the father of my child or my husband. I didn't feel anger. It was just like this jealousy. I mean, it was outrageous. And then sinking a little bit more into that jealousy, it was like, oh, this is a familiar feeling that I feel in my life as Gina. And that's often an indicator, especially when it seems like you're one person. You guys, can you hear Milt? He's sniffing the remote or the microphone. Not a toy, bud. And it was like, this is a feeling that I feel with one of my friends. This was one of my friends. We've been friends. I met him when we were in kindergarten, and we've just always been really good friends. And I think he's so much fun, but I can get like so jealous, I guess, of him, which is so crazy because I would have never identified that consciously, but that's what that feeling is. And like this fear of missing out, like if he comes home and it's like, what are you doing? I want to do that too. It's like, I just want to scramble and be there. Cause well, number one, it's like, this is someone who I don't see a lot. He's super fun. But anyways, it was just like these same threads of emotion around parts of our relationship. And I was like, wow, that is so crazy. So him and I were actually married in a past life. So he was a man in that past life, and I was a woman in that past life, and in this life he's a man and I'm a woman, and we're still really good friends. But there are some things that he does that make me feel jealous, or like, no, I want to be there and do that. And it's just, it's, you know, a long nuanced story, but I will say I wouldn't have labeled that as jealousy. And so it really informed this part of our relationship that I find incredibly frustrating sometimes. And so just being able to have that illuminated was like, oh, that's what that is. Oh, okay. Knowing what that is, I know how to avoid that, or like rein in my emotions. Cause I think a lot of times, well, I don't know, I'm sure there are times that I'm unaware of, but it seems like jealousy is really just like a way to illuminate something in yourself that you feel like you're lacking, whether you truly are lacking that or not. And so it can be a powerful tool. Just like anger, right? It gets such a bad rap, but it's like, sometimes you just got to feel it so you can like figure it out or release it from your body. And so seeing this dynamic play out in this past life is like, oh, that's pretty interesting. I have that dynamic with him in this life. I mean, we're not loggers and we're not married, but yeah. So it wasn't like a jealousy of him in terms of like romantic jealousy. It was just like, I want to be doing that thing. And I was just like also sitting there just overcome rocking this baby who I didn't feel connected to, feeling jealous of my husband in this scene, and incredibly resentful of the attitudes of the people around us. Because I found it to be their attitudes that kept me from the life that I wanted to live. And so I felt totally trapped, because if I would have done what I wanted to do, people would have had a real fucking problem with it. And I didn't want to lose my baby, but even more so, I didn't want to lose myself, and I didn't want to lose my job and my friends and that activity. So there I sat, just kind of like stuck in that hard spot of like, this is what I really want, but this is the reality that I'm facing. And so that was that scene of really just sinking into that jealous feeling and feeling like, I do not want this life. I do not want the role of the woman. I want someone else to take care of my kid, and I want to go do the work. So then we went to the next scene, which was actually like my deathbed scene. And my husband and I lived in that same little cottage of the previous scene. And him and I were doing something for the house, but we were in the woods. So I don't know if we were gathering firewood or what we were, but our kid was an adult and had like moved on and, you know, didn't live with us anymore. So it was just my husband and I. And I was just like in this scene, even though I was on my deathbed, I was remembering what my husband and I had been doing earlier that day. And I just felt really happy again, like really happy to be doing physical work with him, really happy to be doing physical work, really happy to be laughing with him and just feeling connected and like his equal. And he saw me as his equal and I knew I was his equal. And then frankly, just like happy that I had this kid in my life who I didn't have to take care of anymore because he was an adult. And just really relishing that like quote man's work that I was doing and still feeling even though the feelings of resentment of having to live by everybody else's expectations seemed to have dissipated in that scene, really what it was like I was older, my kid was grown up, so essentially as a woman I could do what I want, right? I was at home getting firewood out of the woods. And so even though someone might be like, oh, you're over that resentment, it was just like those parameters or guidelines for what society thought I should be doing with my life at that time were just more freeing. It just allowed for more freedom, allowed me to do more of what I wanted to. So it's not that those feelings were gone. It was just they didn't apply to that time in my life. But still, I still felt extremely grateful to be like, I got this part of me back, was just like this feeling when I was looking back on my husband and I gathering that wood. And we were both considerably older. Like I said, our child was an adult and had moved away. And so in this scene, again, looking back on this day that I had had with my husband, again, it was like in the notes that Allison took during the session, like the word jealous shows up like so much. It's just like, I was jealous. I'm not jealous anymore. I'm so jealous. And it's just funny because I don't identify with that. Like in my conscious mind, I just don't. But now after like living these past life scenes, observing it from a third person point of view, it's like, oh my gosh, that is part of my relationship with this person in my life. Anyway, so, the dynamic between my husband and I in, you know, those later life scenes where I'm actually on my deathbed thinking about, and I didn't know I was going to die. I was like, just felt tired and was getting into bed in this scene. So my memories of being like, oh, earlier today I was with him. It was really just like this feeling of, I'm so glad we've reconnected too. And him and I were more close on a friend level, like almost like a, what I envision is like a guy friend level where we don't have these, we don't always have these deep conversations of like, I was extremely jealous of you. And so it was just like, as a woman in this world, it's just my perception of like how guys hang out. Like it's not always super deep, which is totally fine. So it wasn't like this relationship where I told him everything. We were really, it was just like friends. Like I had gotten my friend back, which was really cool too. So we had been getting firewood all day. We came in and it was just like part of our tasks. It was starting to get colder and darker. So we were just like getting our supplies ready for the winter, essentially. And we came back into our little cottage and I just felt like really tired. So I got into bed. And as I was getting into bed, I just felt like really tired and like, gosh, I think I'm getting sick. And I, in my mind, was thinking, like, I know I'm old, but I know that I'm, like, way too tired to just go to bed. Or meaning, like, the tiredness I felt, even though I knew I was getting older and I knew we had just done a ton of work getting ready for winter, as I was crawling into bed, I was like, this is bigger and more tired than I've ever been. Like, you know how you can tell, like, you get into bed and you're tired. You get into bed and you're tired because you're sick. Like it's two different things. And this just felt bigger than anything I had ever encountered before. So even though in the back of my mind, I was like, I think I might be dying, there was also a part of my conscious mind that was like, no, I'm just tired. Maybe I'm getting the flu. I did a lot of work. I'm getting older. And so that's like another cool thing about a past life regression is like you can kind of see these different points of view and how just like different facets hitting different rays of light, like things get louder. I don't know. I don't know if that's translating, but it was like I could tell, like I knew something was going on, but not to the point where I was like, hey, husband, come on in because I think I'm dying. Yeah, so as I slowly drifted off into a deep sleep, I felt like as I was drifting, as sleep was like coming in, this thought of like, oh, I feel like I should tell my husband, but I don't know what I should tell him. And then I just like die in my sleep. It was like this feeling of like, I feel like I should tell my husband, but then sleep slash death just like overtook my body. And it was just peaceful, died in my sleep. It wasn't a struggle. It was just like all of a sudden I was gone. So then after that, we moved into, so after the death scene is where you're just kind of like in this really safe, amplified space where you're really connected to your soul knowing and your higher self. And Allison asked the question, like, am I carrying anything from that past life with me today? Because when we feel a lot of emotions or we have a really strong point of view, oftentimes those can attach to us, or I think of it as like a branding, like into our soul. And that can really inform and lend itself to, you know, points of view we have in this life or behaviors or habits we can't shake or emotions that seem irrational. And so after the death scene is always a good time. Allison does this. I do this as a facilitator to be like, are you carrying anything from that past life that is no longer serving you? Something that in order for you to evolve, in order for you to feel better, you can like let go of. And it was really just like carrying a lot of anger and resentment from that past life. And yeah, it was so cool because it was like the moment she asked me if I was carrying anything, my nose on the inside just starts this like really burning feeling. And it's something, it's been a tell for me for years. Like it used to be really bad, and you can't see it, right? Cause it's like inside my nose. This is like pulling back the curtain, but like, it's this seething anger that I'm hiding from the world. And more often than not, I'm not even conscious of it. But the very first time I worked with a hypnotist, we were not doing past life regression. And I think that might have been 6 or 7 years ago. And that was one of the things that we talked about, was like, I used to get these such painful like cuts in my nose. And I used to think it was like the dry weather in winter. But after working with this hypnotist so many years ago, she's like, no, that's like seething anger. And so we untied some things working together and it got better. But on a soul level, when things like trigger me, I'll get this like burning feeling in my nose. It's really a weird feeling. Again, you can't see it. And then eventually, if I don't do anything about it, it'll actually turn into a cut on the inside of my nose. Like if you looked inside my nose, you could see that cut. But it hasn't gotten that bad in years. Like I haven't had a cut inside my nose in years. But immediately when Allison had asked me, like, are you carrying anything from that past life? My nose, it's like someone put a lighter up my nose. It was so strong. And I was like, oh, this is part of the anger and the resentment that I feel, or this is like leftover residues that help ignite issues in this life, which is what they do, right? Because essentially your soul ignites them so you can't miss them, and then you have to deal with them. So it was like carrying anger from that past life, and it's burning in my nose. And so anytime you can feel like a residue or past life trauma or soul trauma or anything like that, and you can feel it on your body, there are different modalities you can use to get it out or to heal it. And so we did that. And so I like did some breathing, imagined like an ice pack up my nose, like ice cubes in my nose to help put up the fire. And so we released a lot of that, which was so interesting because prior to that, for like a couple months, I was feeling like, man, I feel that burning sensation in my nose every once in a while. And it's so subtle that sometimes I really only feel it like in meditation, because that's like the time I'm slowing down and like paying attention to the more subtle things in life, and which is just like another benefit of meditation. But I just remember being like, what the fuck is this about? It was almost like my soul was like, get ready. You're about to be triggered. It's time to clean this up. And so while I've had burning in my nose since then, it's been a lot less. So pretty interesting how these like sensations in our body can have, I think they can have more than one source. And kind of like, if you think of it as like a root, there can be more than one branch off that root or growth off that root. And that was one of them. So it just like immediately my nose lit up and I was like, oh, that makes so much sense. So then we released that, worked on releasing kind of that imprint, that soul reaction, and healed that part of me. And which has helped a lot less burning in the nose in since then, the last 3 months. And then we moved further into that safe soul space where I could ask those questions. And then remember the questions that I wanted to ask were around, like, how do I turn up the volume on my intuition and turn down the volume of my ego? Or how do I understand more about what it is that when my intuition is like, yes, this is good, rather than my ego is like, yeah, it feels good to have my ego stroked. Because for me, they don't often lead to the same type of happiness. And I want more of like that soul-led stuff. And frankly, it's like, I can't not have that. It's like, I'm moving so slow right now, meaning like, I very methodically am growing my business very slowly because I want to do it in a way that feels good. I don't want to make the wrong decision. And so this just, it's like, what will help me along this road or help me understand why this is so confusing to me? And the thing that came in was like, the word noise came in, and it was like, the reason you can't see the difference between your intuition saying this is good and your ego saying this is good, let's get more of this. And it was just like the word noise kept coming in, and it's like, there's too much noise in your brain. If there's an opportunity or a decision to make about an opportunity, the amount of noise that gets turned up makes it so confusing. Like, you can't sift through the noise and see, what does my intuition want? What does my ego want? Because my ego wants to please other people. My ego wants to keep other people happy. My ego wants other people to like me. My ego wants to make a lot of money. My ego, you know, and these things aren't bad. It's just, for me, when I only go down that route and not the intuition-led, soul-led route, it doesn't turn out great. And because I'm building this business, I'd really like to not build a business that I want to fucking burn down in a few years. So that's because that is like such an emotional toll and such a difficult decision. I'd like to avoid that. And starting from scratch is fucking hard. It's hard to do, period. And it's hard on my psyche. So if I could avoid that, that'd be fucking phenomenal. So basically the information I got from my higher self was like, it's the noise. So you have to turn down the volume on that noise. And then the question was like, okay, well, what is the noise? Like, where's it coming from? How do I turn down the volume? And it was this thought of like, the noise comes from when I am thinking about what other people are going to be thinking or feeling when I make this decision, which is so, maybe doesn't seem big if you're not someone who deals with that, if you're not someone who thinks a lot about what other people are thinking and haven't spent a lot of time in the mental space of like, how can I get other people, you know, to like me, to approve of me? How can I avoid someone's, you know, fucking adult-sized temper tantrum? And because that's such an automatic for me, I didn't even know I was doing that. And it's when I do that, that things become really muddled and hard to decipher. So to turn the volume down on that noise and get down to what I truly want, how I truly feel about something, rather than how someone else might perceive it or how they might feel about it, I have to turn that down. So I can do that. And one of the one of the things that I remember saying to Allison before this session was, and when I ask for guidance on this, if they fucking say more meditation, I'm gonna be pissed. I'm a human. I like meditation and journaling are fine, but like, come on, I already do it twice a day. Like I meditate twice a day for either like a 10, a 15, or a 20 minute chunk. And that has served me wildly. Like I cannot recommend it enough. Like it helped detach my ego from a lot of my decision making, which is also how I got here, part of it. But it was like, do not say I need to meditate more, because I do not want to. And it was really just one way to do that. I could meditate, but then it was like, you don't want to meditate. So what you could do is journal, like specifically write down all, like knowing if there's an opportunity or a decision to make, pause. Like that's the trigger for Gina to pause. And then grab your pen and paper and write down everything that everyone or anyone might think about this. And so that's just a way for me to be like, you may not think it's there, but it's there. So get it out, right? And journaling is so powerful because when we write, we step out of that logical mind. Like writing is more in the artistic bucket of our brain, which is more like the right side of our brain. The left side is like linear, logical, do this, then do that. This is how this should look, right? If you were going to make it into masculine, feminine energies, like your right side is more feminine, your left is more masculine. Right now, as I talk about this, I'm feeling slightly insecure that I got the sides wrong of the brain, but it doesn't matter. Regardless, there's like, when we write, we access a different part of our brain, which brings forward other truths that we may not be totally conscious of. And so that's the benefit of journaling, especially journaling in this space when I'm trying to get to the heart of like, what do I truly want? And so it was like, when there's a decision to make and you don't know what to make, just right away, write down, like, if I do, here's what I think I want to do. Here's what I think this person wants me to do. Here's what I think will happen. And just like get it all out on the table. And because in order to turn the noise down, you first have to identify the fucking knob in which to turn it down with, right? Like I can't turn down something if I don't even know what it is. So getting it out on paper is also a really good way to identify it, to identify how fucking stupid the thought usually is, or how mean the thought is if it's about your unworthiness. And so just like specifically journaling what other people may or may not be thinking, how I feel, and then also answer the question, like, if nothing mattered, would I want to do it, right? Like, if I wasn't getting paid, if no one saw me do this, if it only mattered, like, do I want to do this? Do I feel joy in this thing? For me, not for what could be, not for what, you know, oh, these people might hear about you and then they might schedule a session. But it's like, no, if nothing else mattered besides, do you want to do this thing? Then do this thing. And that's a good way of getting super, super clear. And then the thought was from my higher self was like, the more you journal on this stuff, the more automatic the thought will be. This is not a life sentence of journaling every time there's a big career move. It's about the more you journal, the more you get to know yourself, the more you can identify the noise. And by you, I mean me, Gina. The more Gina can identify the noise, and the easier it is to identify her intuition, right? Like if we're consistently seeing the noise in our life that doesn't matter and we consistently turn it down, pretty soon that just becomes automatic. I know that. That's how the brain works. That's what neuroplasticity is all about. It's about becoming more and more efficient so it takes less energy to live. It's just like how we are made up as humans. That is something that's in us. So it's not something I'm always going to have to do. And it's not something I have to do for every decision, but every time I'm like, well, should I do this or should I do that? do I really want to do this? Does this seem like a good idea? Is to just journal it out. Because again, especially like if I'm doing something for someone, you know, whether it's like, do you want to be a guest on my podcast? Do you want to come do this at my event? Like, to at the end of the day, I am thinking about how that person is viewing me. And so sometimes it's hard to say no. Sometimes it's easier to say yes, just to keep them happy. So maybe there's a different opportunity in the future I'll really want to do, and then they'll think of me because I did this. And there's no wrong answer here for you as a listener, but for me personally, that is these are the steps I'm taking to try to avoid building a business that I'm going to fucking burn down in a few years because I just can't even do it, right? So eventually, after digging into it and journaling it, I'll just be able to like call it out in the moment, right? Like, oh, I'd love to do that, but I'm not going to because I'm doing this other thing. Or thank you so much. You know, like saying what's true in the moment. You can say no to someone and still have gratitude for them. And So just like looking through these notes and saying it out loud is also healing on another level to me. So thanks for listening to my rants. Anyway, so take that. Like, if you feel like you have a difficult time, maybe you're a people pleaser for whatever reason. I think people pleaser is not a great descriptor. For me personally, my experience with that was like, oh, I don't give a fuck about what people think. I do what I want. But that's not totally true, Gina, because you do give a fuck, because when you try to avoid people not liking you or certain adults in your life from having an adult-sized tantrum, I will dim my light, not say something, do something I don't want to do. And that is the key for me in terms of business. If I take that route and just relax on those reflexes, I am not going to build the business I want. So being totally aware of that and open to it, and just affirming that other people's emotions are not mine. And it was also a thread of wisdom in this piece about journaling is like, and I still have work to do there. I still have work in seeing, like, even though I've come a long way, I clearly don't trust my ability to be like, those are that person's emotions and these are mine. And I can respect them. You know, like if there's a group of people who were like, oh, you should come and do this at our event. And it was like, oh, this would be really good exposure, but I don't want to be associated with people who do that kind of work. I don't want to be at that kind of an event. So why would I ask people to be there? So because I'm going to be there. And being able to kind of like detach from like, they're excited about it. You like them. That's okay that you're not excited about it. Right? I mean, hopefully you're listening to this. My hope for you is that you're listening to this and you're like, it's so elementary, Gina. It's so sad that you have to deal with that. I hope you're not dealing with that. But that is something is really just like figuring out what's mine and what someone else's. And this was a reminder of like, your work's not done there. Because to be honest, I was like, oh, I used to be that way and I'm not anymore. And then this past life regression was like, oh shit, I still have work to do in that area. Fuck. Okay, so then moving on from that little piece about turning down the noise and identifying the noise was like, what were the reasons why Gina had this past life presented to her? So this is always a good question to ask as a facilitator. I like asking this question because it really cements for the client, like, hey, this is what you should have gotten from this past life regression. And it's just a nice way to kind of like wrap it up in a bow. So Allison asked that question, and the answer that I got from my higher self, from my guides, was this past life memory that I realized still impacts my current life. There's still threads that I'm feeling that are similar to this past life. Whether I picked it up in this past life or this past life was just showing me the ways in which it can show up, the feelings. And it was like, I feel heavily influenced by others. You know, I'm better today at not letting others' judgments influence my actions, my decisions, my words, but I'm still heavily influenced by it, even if that influence is I'm saying my truth and I feel super uncomfortable. But regardless, just knowing like there's still stuff to be cleaned up there, because if I think I'm healed, then I'm ignoring it, right? And then it's only going to fester and get worse. That's my belief. You may not believe that, but that's my belief. It still affects me whether I want to believe it is affecting me or not. Because if whether I believe it's happening or not, whether I'm being influenced by other people's opinions or emotions, if I don't pay attention to it, it will trap me into a life that I don't want, decisions that I don't want, and I have the power to undo that. And so that is my intention. And then really just like looking to myself for validation and appreciating who I am, and maybe even appreciating even more the parts that don't fit a certain mold, and just getting more comfortable in that. And this is, you know, I don't know how many times I can say this, but like, this is the cool thing about a past life regression is like, when I am seeing these past life scenes, I'm in it and I'm feeling it, which is so powerful and healing. And also I've got this third person point of view, right? Like, have you ever been reading a self-help book and you're reading it and it's like, oh my gosh, so-and-so should read this book. They really need to read this book. I mean, I do this shit all the time. And it's like, no, bitch, you need to read this book. So don't be worrying about someone else's problem. Like, focus on your problems and why you picked up this freaking book. It's just, it's so easy for us to look at other people and be like, you're doing this wrong. You should do this way. I can't believe you have that thought about yourself. Don't do that. Do this instead. And that is something I definitely, let me know if you struggle with that or if I'm the only one. But that is really just like, only worry about yourself. And what's so cool about these past life scenes is like the third person point of view that seems so clear and easy is actually about yourself. And it's just a cool way to see yourself, your soul in a different point of view. And then, you know, make steps moving toward the life you really want and not get caught up in these things that you may or may not think are issues, but they're really dictating and influencing your behavior and your experience. So then Allison asks, like, how do I differentiate between intuition and ego when I'm making these decisions? Like, some of these things seem repetitive, but, and I do the same thing as a facilitator, like, I will make sure to the best of my ability that the client has, like, an actual answer that they can do something with. It's not just, like, some broad answer, like, journal. Well, how often should you journal? When should you journal? What should you journal about? You know, and same thing with meditation or moving your body. It's like, so some of these questions might seem repetitive, but I do think it's helpful for the client to get, you know, crystal clear on all of it. So it was like, how can I differentiate between intuition and ego? And it was really like, well, if I'm feeling angry or trapped, ask why. Journal about that. Why do I feel angry or trapped? And normally it's going to come out like you're feeling angry or trapped because you are doing something for someone else at the cost of my own sanity, my own preferences, my own desires. And so, and that's like in ways that don't matter, right? And that's a good one. So if I'm feeling angry or trapped, that's actually a gift telling me, hey, something's going on here. You could learn something here. And then from that being like, well, what do I want to do? And what do others want me to do? So that was just like another way. Another way is to journal when you're feeling angry or trapped. Journal why. What do I want to do? What do other people want me to do? And a lot of times that will just unravel all of that. So instead of just being overcome with the noise, not knowing which direction to take, what do I truly want? It's really getting to the heart of like, well, Gina, you know what other people want. Write it out. Now, what do you want? Write it out. There's the difference. That's the difference between the ego and your intuition. And then it's really just the message I got was just like really focusing on the negative emotions and seeing them as a gift and like a signpost as to you're doing the right thing, or hey, here's an idea. You can address your frustration here, your trapped feelings here, and really get to the heart of, you know, why I'm feeling a certain way. Yeah. Really just like, how can Gina let go of other people's emotions? That's what this was all about. How can someone pry her death grip hands off other people's emotions? And that is so small and seems so clear and obvious, and it's absolutely not from my point of view. It can be really difficult in the day-to-day. And so the journaling about like what people think about it, the journaling about what people want me to do and what I want to do, those are all ways for me to say your ego wants to please other people and get other people to like you, and your soul just wants to do what you want to do. So would you show up to that event if there was no return on investment besides joy? Then go. That's a good way to determine whether it's your intuition or not. And I believe that the way the world is set up, that when I'm working with my gifts, in my gifts, with the right state of mind and presence, that that's naturally going to overlap with some things that other people want. And that's the sweet spot where I can make a little money. For me personally, that's not the case for everybody. You got to find your own route. But so it's not about just chasing money for me. I already had a business where that's what I did, and it didn't work out. And I'm really just trying to avoid that, because that was a real fucking got my ass handed to me of like emotional struggles for months of like, should I burn it down? Not months, like years. Anyways, then I finally burned down that business, and look where I am today, out of the ashes. Feels good. Okay, so that was the big thing of like real clear seeing a past life where she was like thinking she had no other option because of other people's opinions, and she had a lot of options. And yeah, and it was just like, then the word came into me during that session of like, you'll get to know your brand. That was the line that came out. Like, the more thinking you do about this, the more deciphering between what's theirs, opinions, emotions, motives, what are mine, that's the noise. And so the more I identify it, the easier it'll be to get to know the like the brand of my intuition. What does my intuition want? What does my soul want? And then it was just like, if you think of, you know, kind of like a pile of things that you have in your brain of all the, well, I could do this because that, or I should do this because of that. And it's really just like removing other people's emotions, judgments, and ideas so I can see my own judgments, emotions, and ideas and identify things I truly want to do. Yeah. And it was just like, strong emotions are good. You're an emotional person. That's totally fine. And think of these strong emotions as like a spiritual hand, like pointing you in the direction that you need to look. And I thought that was so powerful. Like, these gross feelings that I can have, like this friction on the inside, instead of feeling like, see, you're failing. It was really just like, my guides were just like, that is like a finger pointing you in the direction of, that's not for you. Or if you think that's for you, you should dig into that, because it's not making you feel good. And with that, it's like, the more you do that, the easier it'll get. And pretty soon that will be your gut reaction. The gut reaction isn't going to be, oh, what do other people think about this? It's going to be, oh, that feels good or not. Bye. See you later. And the secondary or, you know, hundredth thought will be, what do other people think of this? Like, that is what I want for myself. That's what I want for everyone. Yeah. So that was the biggest, those were kind of like the big threads. And then the other thread that I had of like, just accepting who I am as a soul. So on top of that is like, when I get to what I truly want, it's like, just to accept that. And like, one of the things that came in, because sometimes when people are like, just be yourself or accept yourself, sometimes it's like, well, okay, but like, what if you've been trained to act or be in a dysfunctional way for whatever reason? And if you don't need to have those survival skills anymore, then like, being that way isn't going to work. And that's kind of the space I'm in right now. And so it was like, okay, so accept who I am as a soul, get to know like the brand of my intuition by all this journaling and thinking about, well, what are other people thinking? What do I think they're thinking? Because we never know. And it's really like accepting who I am as a soul. And then this voice came in my head, which I think it was Daylo, which was like, you are quirky, you're different, you're a little left of center. It just is that way. That's the type of soul that you are, Gina. So it's my choice if I want to be okay with it and accept it. But if I don't accept this about myself, it will hinder my growth, my satisfaction, my general contentment with life. And so it's like every single past life you have, you feel quirky, you feel different, you feel a little odd. And if I can just accept that that is who I am as a soul, whether that's an actual human experience in general or just unique to me, regardless, it doesn't matter. If you can accept that that's the way it's going to be, then like your life will be a lot easier, which I thought was like, especially to have that come at you when you're in a trance state. So that thought of like, yes, you are quirky, you are different, you are not like other people, your gifts are very different, your interests are very different. To have that acceptance and that knowing that that's just who I am, and knowing like, oh, that's who I am, so this is going to create a lot of friction in other parts of my life. I don't know. When you get that message on a subconscious level, it changes your perception. You know, it's just like that understanding. Like if you had to, say you had to go to the post office every day and the person working at the post office was such a grouch. And it was like, why are they such a grouch? I hate going to the post office. And you would think about this person. And why are they so nasty? And like you dread going to the post office because you don't even want to be by this person. But then what if you understood that this person is dealing with like chronic pain? They take care of an elderly parent and they maybe have a special needs kid. And so they just can't deal with a lot of the bullshit of the post office industry, but they need the job or the benefits. You would walk into that giving them more grace and more allowance and more acceptance. And you're going to take that a lot less personally. And you're just going to like send them, you know, like be kind to them, send them smiles, be compassionate. That is totally different. And that's like the little piece of understanding when we can understand ourselves a little more and like truly accept on a subconscious level that, oh, this is how I am. So all of these other reactions that I maybe don't enjoy make total sense now. Okay. As opposed to, oh, this is who I am. Ooh, I hate these reactions. Ooh, how can I change myself? That hasn't worked in over 39 years. So here I am on my 40th revolution of the sun. Let's do it. Okay, so then the other thing I will say with the how things have changed and like the added gift of seeing this this like longtime friend of mine who is still to this day one of my favorite people. I met him when I was in kindergarten. He's so fun to hang out with. But again, sometimes I'd get like so mad at him and be like, fuck that. Why is he doing this? He should be doing this instead. And it's kind of hard to explain, but you know, do you have a friend that you just like kind of get jealous of for no apparent reason? You're not like angry at them. You don't want to break up with them, but it's just like, ugh, just this friction. And it really opened my eyes to this corner of our relationship. Like I said, it just illuminated like why I feel certain ways about him. And so funny because I had this past life regression, I had got this understanding about this part of our relationship. And it's not like anything I would have ever identified and been like, I need to figure this out in past life regression. It's just like an added bonus. So a couple months ago, like, I don't know, a month after that past life regression, my partner Alex and I were going to go visit him and his family. We do that a few times, I don't know, like 1 to 3 times a year. And it was like, oh, what about this weekend? Does this weekend work for you? You know, just trying to juggle weekends with the dog sitter and the people we're going to see and all that stuff. And he was like, oh, we're not going to be there that weekend. We're going to be in Vegas. And I immediately was like, what? who is he going to Vegas with? I want to be there. You know, just like these are the, this is not the words coming out of my mouth, but like this is the wave of emotion in my body. Like, fuck that. I want to go and have fun with them in Vegas. And then I was like, oh, who are you going with? Would it be weird if we went with? And he was like, oh, you could come with, we're going with this other couple. And I just, and I don't know the other couple well, but I know the situation well enough that if I were to go, follow this irrational thought of like, I want to go, you know, then I would go and be like annoyed with the behavior of certain people in this group that we had created. And it would be at the root of it, this jealousy. And so I was like, oh, that sounds like fun. I know that it'll ignite some jealousy tendencies in me. So I'm just not going to go. Right? Not like, and maybe he wasn't even inviting us to go. Maybe it was just like, yeah, I guess you could come. Who knows? I mean, probably. But anyways, my point is like, where before I maybe would have pushed and been like, yes, we have to go to Vegas with them, as more of like a fear of missing out or that jealousy strum that I was unfamiliar with. But now that I'm familiar with that and I understand that dynamic of my emotions in our relationship, sometimes it's like, oh, I can see why I'd want to go. I can see why that's not the best way to enjoy our friendship. We'll catch you in a couple months. So it's just, you get these gifts from a past life regression that you weren't even expecting. And that was one of them. Yeah. So there we go. I would love to know, like, let me know if you resonated with anything. I felt like there was so much in this past life regression. To distill it down to like a hour long conversation is kind of difficult, but let me know. Like, let me know what you thought of it. Do you experience jealousy like that with certain friends? Are you obsessed with like what other people think? I want to know. Go to pastlivesandthedivine.com and you can subscribe and respond to the email I send you and let me know what you thought about this episode. You can find me on Instagram, pastlives.tourguide, and you can let me know there. Just, I want to know your reactions to this, where you are in these issues, mostly because I'm just curious. And of course, like everybody else, I don't want to feel alone. And it's easy to feel alone when you're having these these big emotions. Okay, that is our episode today. My first episode back after that long break. Like I always say, hit me up. Let me know what you thought of this episode. Indulge me. It's been so long since I've released an episode. I want to hear from you. Let me know over on Instagram, pastlives.tourguide, or on my email list, pastlivesandthedivine.com/subscribe. And if you thought of anyone in particular while listening to this podcast, the best thing you could do to support this podcast is to forward an episode to someone and say, I think you'd like this because of A, B, and C. If you listen to it, let me know what you thought. And then you can have like another fun conversation in your life about it. You can get to know a friend a little bit better. And it helps me just like promote this podcast. That is the best way that you could promote this podcast. And of course, if you're feeling inclined, you can always leave a 5-star review, maybe even type up some kind words in the review on Apple. That helps other people find this podcast. But regardless of what you do, thank you so much for listening and being open to the power of our past lives and all of our eternal soul experiences while we walk this earth together. So take anything from this episode that makes you feel better and just leave the rest.